From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, July 8th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Two brothers were found dead in a suspected drowning at a park in Springvale this weekend. According to Sanford, police officers were called at around 11 o'clock on Sunday night after the two 17-year-old siblings hadn't returned home after going to swim at Springvale's Holdsworth Park. Police located their vehicle at the park and found the two brothers dead in the water. Authorities say that foul play isn't suspected and an investigation is ongoing. Meanwhile, police are still looking for the suspect in a domestic assault incident on Friday that resulted in a shelter-in-place order for part of Augusta this weekend. According to police, 40-year-old Justin Larrabee displayed a gun, made threats against his parents, and left the scene before police could arrive. In an update on Monday, police said they've yet to locate Larrabee and still consider him to be dangerous. Anyone with information is being urged to call the Augusta Police Department. Sunday marked the 40th anniversary of the murder of Charlie Howard, a young gay man from Bangor. Howard was walking with his friend on July 7, 1984, when three teenagers attacked him and threw him off the State Street Bridge into the Kenduskeg Stream. Howard couldn't swim and drowned. Susan Willie McKay, the council chair of the Unitarian Universalist Society of Bangor, says there was little outrage about what happened to Howard at the time.
It was only the Unitarian Church that was outraged publicly by Charlie's death. None of the other churches spoke up. It didn't bring the ire that it would today, even though a young man tragically lost his life at the hands of bigoted people.
Willie McKay says a lot has changed since 1984, and more churches, businesses, and organizations are supportive of LGBTQ+ rights. But she says there is a long way to go to get the acceptance that LGBTQ+ people truly want. The Unitarian Universalist Society in Bangor held a morning service for Howard, followed by a procession to the State Street Bridge, where a wreath and flowers were thrown into the stream to remember Howard. The Biden administration has proposed a rule to protect laborers from dangerous effects of extreme heat. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration regulation gives workers access to water, cool break spaces, and other relief when the heat index climbs. Dangerous heat has become a crucial worker safety issue as the climate gets hotter, according to Matt Schlobohm of the Maine AFL-CIO Labor Union.
Working people are outside, they're making their living, you know, doing construction, delivering mail, working in factories, working as farm workers, doing a whole host of jobs where when the temperature goes over 80 degrees or 90 degrees or 100 degrees, the work gets significantly more difficult and more dangerous.
OSHA says heat is the leading cause of weather-related deaths in the U.S. The new rule would apply to about 36 million workers in indoor and outdoor work settings. The Maine CDC has detected Jamestown Canyon virus in a sample of mosquitoes from the Orono area. The town sent an alert to residents on Monday stating it had received verbal notice from the state CDC and is waiting on further information. The federal CDC reports that as of June 25th, there have been no human cases of the virus in 2024 and limited non-human activity. In 2023, no cases of the virus were reported in Maine, although the CDC reports 26 cases nationwide. Common symptoms include fever, headache, and fatigue, although severe cases can cause seizures and brain inflammation. The U.S. Forest Service recently approved a logging project in the Sandwich Range of the White Mountain National Forest in New Hampshire. The project provoked significant community backlash because it will cut trees near popular hiking trails along Mount Chicora and Mount Whiteface. Saco District Ranger Jim Innes said cutting trees helps make forests more climate resilient and protect animals.
What we're doing is breaking up some of the age classes, size and age class of the trees. So you'll have, you know, we're going to do some groups, we're going to do some clear cuts, and that'll create areas of young forest among old forest, which is, you know, good habitat for wildlife.
But many climate scientists and activists have pushed back against the idea that logging is good for the environment at all. The project is slated to start in September of this year, and Innis expects timber sales to last for about 3 years. A much-loved strawberry farm in Cape Elizabeth is closing up shop after over half a century in business. The family-run Maxwell's Farm made the announcement on Sunday. Nick Song has more.
As a child, Pauline Jones spent her summers at her grandmother's home on Two Lights Road.
It was always a big thing for us as kids to be up here for the 4th of July. And the 4th of July always meant fresh salmon, green peas, and Maxwell strawberry shortcake.
Jones says half of the fun came from picking her own strawberries.
We'd get boxes and we ate some while we picked, but it was irresistible. The fresh strawberries from Maxwell's cannot be compared to what you get in a chain supermarket. The fresh are the best.
Maxwell's farm began operating in the 70s, but the farmland itself has been in the Maxwell Bamford family since 1772. Just a few weeks ago, a fruit fly infestation forced the farm to cancel its strawberry picking season for the summer. While the Bamford family says there's no singular reason behind the farm's permanent closure, Caitlin Jordan Harriman, the third generation owner of nearby Alewives Brook Farm, says financial pressures, a decline in consumer demand, and the effects of increased property development have made farming in the Cape more and more difficult.
You know, you have houses going up all around us, the property taxes are increasing. It seems to be less people coming to the farms, and so it's this change of times. People, you know, make it easier for themselves, get deliveries, order their groceries online. Have different priorities, I guess.
Over a decade ago, and in an effort to survive, 17 farms around the Cape, including Maxwell's, formed the Cape Farm Alliance to support and advocate on the behalf of the area's farmers. Harriman says she and the other farmers are deeply saddened by the loss of Maxwell's.
Cape Elizabeth's farming community is very close and tight-knit, I would think, above and beyond most farming communities in our state or in our country. We all care about each other and want to work together for the same goals.
People outside the farming community are also mourning the loss. Hundreds posted supportive messages on the farm's Facebook page. Many of the comments express hope that the land will continue to be used for farming. Pauline Jones shares that sentiment.
It would be sad to see it turn into houses. I have to be honest, it would be a sad thing. The Cape has changed so much over the years that we've lost a lot of the farmlands.
Whether the land continues to be used for farming remains to be seen. But a 2020 land conservation agreement made between the Bamfords and the Cape Elizabeth Land Trust will ensure that no home is ever built on the 76 acres of farmland. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, Maine is home to several grand pipe organs. We'll learn about the history of the pipe organs and organ music and why the instrument is so unique in its sound. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.